Blog Talk Radio.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I go? How would I handle things? All that I know is I'm mine again. Lord, I fall so short. You know it's all my end, Lord, from the
Thank you so much for tuning in to the next chapter of Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows. Our scripture reads, honor widows that are widows indeed. That's coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. I am Mary Hollis, your host. I'm glad to be here tonight, and I hope that all is well with you. Hope that you had a wonderful resurrection weekend. We had beautiful weather. It was a little bit cool on Saturday, but Sunday was a beautiful day. And I hope that you had a wonderful time with your family and friends. Well, as I text all of you, I said, how many angels? Well, we're going to talk about angels tonight. And we're also going to go back to talk a little bit about before Jesus went on the cross. And the title is 12 Legions of Angels. And the scripture we're going to be talking about from is Matthew 26:53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now, in the Amplified Bible, it says, do you suppose that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will immediately provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Well, I guess you want to know what legion means. How much strength do you think one angel possesses? Today, I would like for us to consider the full impact of Jesus' word in Matthew 26:53, where he says, what I just quoted, let me give you some answers. Let's look at these questions. What is a legion? How many angels would there be in 12 legions? What could be the combined strength of this number of angels? It is important to know the answer to these questions because the answer reveals the full might that was available to Jesus when he requested supernatural help in the Garden of Gethsemane. When we take into account the power that was already demonstrated in the garden, that add the potential assistant impact of 12 legions of angels, it's become obvious that there is no human force on earth strong enough to take Jesus against his will. The only way he's going to be taken was if he allowed himself to be taken. This is why he later told Pilate, "Thou couldn't have taken, thou couldn't have taken no power at all against me, except if it was given from the above." Well, what is a legion? Well, the word legion is a military term that was taken from the Roman army. A legion denoted a group of at least 6,000 Roman soldiers, although the total number could be higher. This means that anything we read about a legion of anything, we can know that it's always referred to at least 6,000 of something. How many angels could there be in 12 legions? Well, it refers to at least 6,000. It means that a legion of angels would be at least 6,000 angels. However, Jesus said the Father could give him more than 12 legions of angels if he requested. So what Jesus is saying here that, excuse me, if he wanted more, he could have gotten more because his Father would have given it to him. Well, one legion is 6,000 angels. If we simply multiply that number by 12, you'll discover that 12 legions of angels would include a minimum of 72,000 angels. Well, I know you want to know where I'm going with this, but just hold on. Finally, let's look at our the third question. What would be combined strength in the number of angels? Angels are powerful. In Isaiah 37:36 says, record that a single angel has the power of 185,000 men. So if an angel had that kind of power, how much combined strength would they be in 12 legions of angels? Well, let me give you some answers. Since a single angel was able to would be considered as 185,000 men in one night, it could mean that the combined strength in a legion of 6,000 angels would be enough to destroy 1,110,000,000 men. And that just to combine power in one legion of angels. Well, I know you want to say, what is this topic all about with this angel? Well, I am getting there. Jesus didn't need Peter's little sword that night. Had he chosen to do so, Jesus could have summoned 72,000 significant, mighty, dazzling, glorious, an overwhelming, powerful angel to the garden to stop the Roman soldier and the temple police who had come to arrest him. Well, in fact, the combined strength and 12 legions of angels would have wiped out the entire human race. But Jesus didn't have to call on the supernatural help that was available to him. He could have done more. Why? Because he knew he had. It was time for him to voluntarily lay down his life for the sin of human race. Well, learn a lesson from Jesus from the Apostle Peter. Jesus didn't need Peter to undersize an insignificant sword to deal with his situation. What good would a single sword have been against all the troops assembled in the garden that night? Anyway, Peter's action was a perfect example how the flesh tries in vain to solve its own problems, but cannot. Jesus had all the power that required to conquer those troops. Well, this is where I'm going. As you face your own challenging life, always keep in mind that Jesus has the power to fix any problem you'll ever have come across. Before you jump in and make decision worse by taking matters in your own hands. Does that sound like some of us? We sometimes want to take matters in our own hands because we are impatient. We don't want to wait for Jesus to give us the answer. So we just want to step in and do what we feel like we want to do because really most of the time it's in being impatient. And sometimes we don't feel or hear God when he answers our prayer. Because sometimes we miss it. We miss what he's trying to tell us. So talking about all these angels have all these powers. It indicated that they have significant, mighty, dazzling, glorious, and overwhelming power. Jesus can do anything. So he could have saved himself because he had enough power to call on all these angels to help him that night. But he knew that he had a purpose in life and that he needed to do what his Father wanted him to do. Now, getting back to us. Before we jump in and make worse by taking matters in our own hands, we all are human. So we do it sometimes because impatient has a lot to do with it. And pretty much sometimes we want things done our way instead of what God wants us for it to happen. So take a few minutes to remind yourself that Jesus can handle the problem without your intervention. Before you do anything else, pray and ask the Lord what you are supposed to do. And when you ask that question, you also have to be patient. You have to wait. You have to listen. You have to open up your ears, pray and ask God for clearance. And many times I have in the past, I said, please, make it clear to me. Sometimes I make it so clear to me, like slapping me on the face so I know that this is the answer. Because sometimes I'm confused. Sometimes you think that you receive the answer. And if you do receive it, you still question it because you're not sure what you're supposed to do. So keep praying. Just like Jesus went, whenever he, in between all of his different miracles, and different things that he did, he always went and prayed to his Father. So he never stopped. He always prayed. So that's what we need to do the same. We don't need to stop praying. Keep to pray without ceasing. So that's what we have to do when we don't feel like we have received the answer that we have asked for, and before we make the worst mistake ever. So once again, before you do anything else, pray and ask the Lord what you're supposed to do. Then after you receive your answer and follow his instructions, just watch his supernatural power swing into action to solve your dilemma you are facing. Now, I asked you to look out for your miracle this Easter Resurrection weekend. Now, you may have not received it, and may you did receive it. That doesn't mean that the Father did not hear your request and he doesn't care about you. It just maybe it's not time for you your miracles to happen. Maybe it wasn't the resurrection weekend. It might be another time that you need to hear from him and hear that miracle, or see that miracle that you requested to see. So just knowing that timing is always of the essence. It's not always when we want it, is when he wants us to receive it. So if you didn't receive your miracle, just keep looking for it. Keep praying and asking God for it. But I hope there's something that he wants to fulfill, and it will, you know, that is needed to be fulfilled, the request that you made. Because, you know, we ask for things that we shouldn't have in the first place. So just know that if you didn't receive it during the resurrection, just keep on praying and asking God for it. And asking for that inner strength. So I hope you see where I was going with this. But I have some questions that I want you to think about this week and to chew on. And there are three questions. Has there ever been a moment in your life when you got in a hurry and, just like I was saying, and acted too fast and then later regretted your action? I'm sure there's many you have. I know there's many that I have. But as we get stronger in the Lord, we become better at the choices that we make. The next question is, when you candidly examine your life, do you find that the same problems keep reoccurring again and again? Does this indicate that you are trying to solve those problems in the strength of your flesh instead of relying on the power of Jesus to help you? Think about that. And the third is, what are you going to do differently as a result of what you have heard tonight? Now, I played Donnie McClurkin, I Need You, and I'm going to play it at the end of the show as well. We should listen at Donnie, and also knowing that we need to always ask God for our help. And things will be in divine. You know, I ask during the day too when I pray, ask God for divine order, his divine order. Because sometimes our order is not the right order and the right way. So I ask for divine order. And sometimes during the day you still will have some sort of rough bumps in the road. But by the end of the day, I'm sure that it will be in divine order. Whatever you needed to accomplish, it will smooth. It just like there was a bump in the road, it will smooth out. And by the end of the day, you'll say, oh, you know what I'm saying? I did it. I finally accomplished the things that I needed to do. And that's because you're asking God for divine order. I use that word a lot in my prayer, in my day, because, and sometimes in the middle of the day, you feel that you are, things are happening to you. Ask God for divine order. Bring peace in your order, and he will do just that. It might not be instantly, but by the end of the day, you're going to feel that you have accomplished, that God was within it, and he gave you that divine order. So those three questions, think about it during this week and see how you can make some changes and improve those things. So just knowing that Jesus has the power to dispatch all of these angels. You know, when they multiplied all these, when we multiplied a different number of angels, that's a lot of angels. So, and if one angel has the power of 185,000 men, you know that's a lot of power. So just knowing that God gives them that power to do whatever he wants them to do. So that that is the lesson I wanted to go over tonight about how strong God's angels are and what that meant in that scripture, Matthew 26:53. Now, I have one other thing. Let me see, what time do we have? It's a little bit early, so I'm gonna say some more things, but I am going to go back, and I'm going to have a prayer at the end of the show. But I do, in between all of this, I have an announcement. We have sort of finalized the trip to the Biltmore Estate in June 18th through the 20th. That's for 3 days, 3 days and two nights. So I am sending a final check to Diamond Tours. Now, if you decide to, someone decide to join us, this coming next week is going to be May. They have allowed us once to send a check to them. We won't be able to add anybody to in June, and maybe not a part of May. They would probably have to look and check to see if they have any more rooms available in the hotel that they're going to reserve for us. That information I will not have, where we're going to be staying, and the detail, that will come later, and I will be sending that information to you. And then also Diamond Tour does, because I will be sending them your email, so you will be able to have that information of the itinerary for in June. But just knowing that, if someone decided that they want to come, I will have to check and see if there's any rooms available, and you will have to pay that money in cash immediately, because it must get to them by a certain time. So, and if there's any expense for me to get it to them by FedEx or whatever the case may be, I will have to add that expense to that bill. So that's all I wanted to indicate. And I am going to be doing the show next week. I'm going to try to have another testimony. But the following week I will have someone. I think Sheila will be doing the show, because I'll be out of town. I'll be celebrating my birthday. So Sheila will be probably on the air with you all that following week, but I'll let you know next Tuesday. I'll be on the air next Tuesday. So that's the announcement. But getting back to this message, I am going to end with a prayer, and I am going to play Donnie McClurkin again, I need you. And just knowing that you can always give me a call, you all have my cell number that I text from. So if you have a question, a concern, or anything, you are always welcome to text me and ask me or say whatever. If you have any suggestion to add to the show, please do so. We are going to start a series of the steps, the stages of grief. That'll be after my birthday. I need some time off and some me time. And I'm going to try to do just that during my birthday week. So let's end with a prayer. And I hope that you will listen to Donnie McClurkin, I Need You, and knowing that you need God, and let him know that you need him, and pretty much he wants you to depend on him for whatever you may be going through. And it doesn't have to be something sad. It could be something joyful. You just want to ask a question. You just want him to give you some sort of sign. Is this okay? Or whatever the case may be. So just knowing that when you go and pray, it doesn't have to always be something sad, something always that you're needing. Just thank him, and also just to let him know that you appreciate what he's done for you. So this show is not all about sadness, but I want to encourage you as much as I possibly can, because to let you know that I have gotten through this journey in my life for the last 28 years, and it's because the Father has done that. He's shown me favor, and he's shown me that he will never leave me nor forsake me. He's proven that to me by my children. My children are doing well, and I thank God for it, and they are doing well. They're very in their jobs and their family. So God is still on the throne, and he still has the power, and he dispatches angels, and all those angels that he has, he dispatches angels to be there for you and your family. So let him help you. So let's pray. Short prayer. Lord, I am so glad you have the power to put an end to my problems. So many times we act just like Peter, swinging furiously in the strength of our own flesh as I've tried to solve my problem without your help. Forgive me, forgive us for waiting. Forgive us for waiting so much time of energy. Today, I ask you to speak to my heart and tell me what I am supposed to do. Then help me to follow your instruction. Please help us to follow your instruction. Give us the patience to wait while you supernaturally work behind the scenes to resolve our problems and our concerns. In Jesus' name, may God be the glory. Be blessed and have a great week. And tune in again next week, the same time, Tuesday, from 10 to 10:30. And here is Donnie McClurkin, I Need You.
Without your hand holding me, and how could I